ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Continuing with discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. Name 587 is Sannyasakrit. This is very special for us who are blessed with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because if we take this meaning to mean he who takes sannyas, then it must refer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no one else. God takes sannyas. Why should he take sannyas? One explanation of this name is that he makes the sannyas ashram. Of course, he makes all the ashrams. He makes all the varnas, chaturvarnyam, mayashrishtam. He makes everything. But particularly mentioned, he makes the sannyas ashram for the point of what? Why is this special? Because this ashram is especially meant for spiritual realization. This is the interpretation that Shankara gives to this name. And of course, in Shankara's philosophy, it is required to take sannyas as a prerequisite for attaining moksha. In other ashrams, it's not possible to attain moksha. And he puts great emphasis on moksha. For him, that is the ultimate goal of life. Of course, that's not exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. In any situation you can be in and attain the ultimate perfection, which is Krishna consciousness. And of course, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts Lord Brahma's statement recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sthane Stita Shuri Gitaan Tanuvam Manobhi Ye Prayasho Ye Prayasho Jitito Apitai Stri Lokyam. That if one goes on, Shankara's system is by jnana. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jnane Prayasam Udapasya, having given up the attempt to become spiritually realized by accumulating knowledge. Namanta eva, one has to become humble. Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyavartam. One should spend one's life hearing from devotees about Krishna. And in this way, staying in one's position means not necessary to accept sannyas. But one should dedicate oneself fully, life, one's mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna. In this way, one gets a much higher position than simply that of being liberated from this material world. One can conquer Krishna, who is unconquerable by any other means than love. So this understanding of sannyas is also given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. It's a subject that Arjuna struggles with. Even as late as the 18th chapter, he's still asking, what is sannyas and what is tyaga? Krishna explains that anashrita karma palam karayam karma karoti yaha sansanyasi cha yogi cha naniragnya na chakriyaha. He says that formal acceptance of sannyas, which means that one is no longer involved with fire, grihasthas, they're involved with fire, they must have fire in burning in their house all the time for daily yajnas, those who are twice born, and of course for offering arati and for cooking and for lighting. The sannyasi has no fire. But that's not, Krishna says, that's not the essence. The essence is the one who does not take shelter of the results of activity, so that one can be working in this world but not taking the fruits. This is a major point that Krishna emphasizes in the first few chapters of the Gita. So someone who simply gives up work can't be called a sannyasi. But one who does give up the spirit of enjoying the work, sa sannyasi sa yoga, he's a sannyasi and a yogi. Yang sannyasamiti praho yogam tam viddhi pandava. Sannyasa and yoga are the same thing. They're interchangeable words, Krishna says. this is another meaning of the name sannyasakrit, who invests the spirit of sannyas, which is required for spiritual advancement in all the varnas, whether one formally takes sannyas or whether one doesn't. Then this spirit of being detached from the objects of the fruits of one's work, that is synonymous with sannyas. Because the whole material existence is caused by attachment. So sannyas means non-attachment. And he who inspires in that way, he is sannyasakrit. Now, also, you may say, well, how does that work? You become free from desires, and then you become liberated. How does that work? Well, Krishna makes it work. So that's a name for sannyasakrit. But by becoming free from material desires, one is liberated from material existence. Why should that be? That because Krishna makes it like that. Therefore, he's called sannyasakrit. He who cuts the bonds. Someone who's actually in the mood of being a sannyasi. It may be that someone is a householder and he's more in the mood of a sannyasi than someone who's officially accepted sannyas. That's quite possible. So, in this way, he who makes that possible. Otherwise, simply being free from desire, why should that stop birth and death? Well, Krishna makes it like that. He helps those also who are trying to be free from material desires. Of course, in Vaishnav Dharma, we don't put much stress on the importance of sannyasa in the attainment of perfection. No, the formal acceptance of sannyas. It's a social act, you could say. It changes one's life. But the real thing is to always think of Krishna, to be fully Krishna conscious, favorably. In another sense, of course, it is very important because we are in this world and accepting sannyas can be very helpful for becoming detached from it and for teaching others. But intrinsically, the acceptance of sannyas has really nothing to do with spiritual advancement. And it might seem quite odd that God himself accepts sannyas. If you take that the goal of sannyas is to attain moksha, and he's supposed to be already liberated, then why does he accept sannyas? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas for preaching Krishna consciousness, because he came to this world for that purpose, but people didn't accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this avatar, he doesn't force anyone and he doesn't show many miracles. He's not lifting any hills in this incarnation or going around killing demons, showing universe. Well, yeah, he does sometimes, but that's not his. He's in many ways acting like an ordinary person. So he accepted sannyas to attract the conditioned souls to hear his message. And his acceptance of sannyas was, it was appreciated by the residents of Navadvip that he really was renounced, because from the it was a great act for him. If someone is old and almost dead and they accept sannyas, then it doesn't have much meaning. Because anyway, he's gonna give up everything anyway, or very soon. When he gives up the body, everything's going to be gone. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was young, very beautiful, affectionate wife, loving mother, very well known and respected in the town of Navadvip. Of course, there were some people who were envious of him, which, seeing that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, so I have to take sannyas, because these people, they're not going to hear my message unless they respect me. So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line up to the present day, especially those who are in the line of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they may accept sannyas for the purpose of preaching. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went out into the world. If he'd have been a grihastha, he would have remained in Navadvip most of the time. He could go out time to time, as he went to East Bengal superficially for collecting money. Following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, sannyas may be accepted for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness. But real acceptance of sannyas is internal. It's not simply by holding a stick that one becomes free from material desires or spiritually advanced. Parashara Bhatta, he takes his name Sannyasa Krit. He takes it in relation to the previous name, Bhishak, which means the physician. He administers the medicine by which we be. It can be taken as Dhanvantari, but it's taken also as allegorical. He gives the medicine to become free from material existence, the proper instruction. So, in this way, by giving the proper instruction and by which one can become detached from this world, and often by arranging situations in which devotees can become detached also. Yasya hamanu grihnami harishe tadhanam shanai. Tato dhanam tyajanti asya swajana dukha dukhita. He may arrange for someone he's very merciful to take away all their wealth gradually. So seeing him in this poverty-stricken condition, his family members become very distressed. They become not very favorable to him. So in this way, he may arrange a situation in which one becomes detached from wealth. Of course, it may be that someone who loses all their money, they become more attached to wealth. Even though they don't have it, they think all the time about how I have to get it. But someone who's more intelligent thinks, oh, I was attached. Krishna took it away. Oh, Krishna wants that for me. Okay. Krishna's mercy took everything away. So, just like the doctor, he may say, okay, now no food for the next 3 days. Nowadays, I don't think anyone, doctors, they don't do that. Especially in this allopathic medicine, they make no dietary restriction. Now they're starting to, because they got a little bit sensible. Or you may say, or especially in Ayurveda, they may say that you don't take any dal for so many days if the stomach is acidic. They may say that. Take very little ghee or oil or stop that. They may say under certain conditions. So he gives the medicine, which includes the in Ayurvedic treatment, of course, there are various considerations. Not in Western medicine, it's mostly just medicine, that's all. But there's dietary consideration. And there's, what is that? That's patya, what should be eaten, oshadham, the medicine. Then there is dinacharam, how one should spend one's day. There are various considerations. So Krishna gives this, the doctor for helping us to become free from attachment to this world. And again, that's a very that's a major part of Krishna's instruction from the second through the sixth chapters of Bhagavad Gita about becoming detached from this world, not by running away from it, but by acting in a spirit of detachment and not being attached to the fruits of these activities. So sannyasa krit in the sense that he shows the way, and he also he blesses the devotee so that he can in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they'll give more importance to the idea, more importance to the idea of not just being detached from the fruit, but offering it to Krishna. And that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, dadasi, yat yat tapasyasi, kaunteya, tat karushva, madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give in charity, whatever austerities you perform, do it as an offering to me. So that's a higher stage than just being detached. You don't care what happens, but you want to offer everything to Krishna. So Krishna gives the inspiration to do so, and the guidance to do so also. This sannyasa krit, along, because there's no, we don't find any other form, any other Vishnu avatar who formally accepted sannyas. Because again, why should he do that? Because he's already fully spiritually perfect. Another consideration is that generally brahmanas will accept sannyas, and mostly he comes in the form of a kshatriya, because he has to do the vinasha yata dushkritam, killing all the rascals. Vamana comes as a brahmana. Parashuram, yeah, but not really acting like a brahmana. Nara Narayana, yeah, but there's no record of them formally taking sannyas. But most of the ones who we hear so many pastimes, Krishna and Rama, they're very involved in the killing business. Balarama. So this name, and also Suvarna Varna, Hemanga, these names, the golden form, these particularly point to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the rest of the names in this verse as connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And obviously the others don't do that. One reason they came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most of these commentators. And another reason is they don't have the understanding or knowledge of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the next name is Sama. That's equality. That's another important topic in the equality. Equanimity is a better word. Equanimity, you can translate something like Samabhav. That's another major topic in the first few chapters or Bhagavad Gita, that one should be equal. Sukhe dukhe same kritva labha labha jaya jayo. Then even before that, that shitoshna sukha dukha daha. Again and again, Krishna gives mana, apamana. He gives opposites, dualities. One should be equipoised. Equipoised in all of these. So, obviously these qualities are in Krishna, because he doesn't have any desire to enjoy this material world. These two things, raga and dvesha, they're often mentioned. In this context, raga means anuraga, attachment, and dvesha. In this context, when these two words are put together, raga and dvesha, dvesha means dislike of, not necessarily toward a person, can be toward a person also, but for instance, someone may not like to eat some kind of food, or someone may not like to live in a certain place, but one should be equipoised in all. In now this this left-wing tantra is based on the idea of overcoming all dislike. So what are the most horrible things you could think of? Having sex with a dead body. So they may ingesting stool. So if you can do that and not be disturbed, they say, that's the sign of spiritual perfection. That's tamasic. But the point is to be not attached to or detached from this world. But a devotee of Krishna, he is attached to Krishna, who is Shuddha Sattva. So devotee doesn't perform activities in the lower modes of nature. He performs activities pleasing to Krishna. And nowhere in Shastra, even for tamasic people, does Krishna say, have sex with dead bodies. That's why tantra it's non-Vedic. And they're proud of that. It's non-Vedic. Anyway, Krishna is equipoised in all situations because he has no desire to enjoy this world. Nor does he hate anyone within it. He's equal to all. Samoham, the same word comes. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. Name dvesho stina priyaha. But there's I'm equal to all. I don't particularly love anyone or hate anyone. Krishna says. That's as in the dispensation of cosmic justice, Krishna is neutral. But then, ye bhajanti tu maham bhaktyam, maite teshu chapyaham. But then he has his own personal, as just like and dislike. He makes some special allowance for his devotees to the extent that apiched sudara chara bhajate maam ananya bhak sadureva samantavya samyagvyavasitohisa. To the extent that his devotee, he will excuse him, even if he does very bad things. That shouldn't be done in the normal course of thinking. If the judge, he has to judge a case in which his son is accused, he may let him off. Why do you let him? He was found guilty. Why do you let him? He's my son. That would not be considered proper. Actually, in such a situation, they wouldn't appoint a judge, properly speaking, to try his own son. And there's a term in English called to recuse oneself. It means that if you have to judge, or you're part of an investigation team and you have some personal link with one of the people who's involved, or if you yourself, you may be investigating corruption in some company, and then actually you have shares in that company. So then you have to, you may be appointed in the commission to investigate, you have to recuse yourself because you have some interest there. But Krishna is not so neutral that he will let his devotee be punished. He's quite inclined to his devotees, if they're actual devotees, if they don't make a show, if they don't think, oh, I murdered someone, quick, put on some tilak, pretend I'm a devotee, and then I'll be excused. Not that kind of devotee, so-called devotee. But if one, and what is that, that Shashvat, what is that, the next verse? Chipram bhavati dharamatma. Very quickly, Shashvat shantim nigachati, kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. That very quickly he comes to the proper position. So my devotee is never destroyed because Krishna looks after him, whereas everyone else in the world is destroyed by their own activities. So Krishna, I'm just explaining how Krishna is not equal to everyone. his sameness or equanimity, his neutrality is very much tempered by his love for his devotees. And that we've found again and again throughout this Vishnu Sahasranama, especially that he is Vatsala, he's very kind to his devotees. An example may be given that the lion with the cubs, the lioness, she'll protect the cubs. Even the cubs, they may be doing some activity that from a neutral point of view may be considered horrible. They may be fighting with hyenas or jackals or something like that and torturing, and then others come and try to attack the cubs, but the lioness will simply protect her children. Now you may say, well, that's on the animal platform. But Krishna, he's on the Shuddha Sattva platform. And that may be one reason that the impersonalists will criticize Krishna. See, he's not equal to all. He's so much involved in the world. He becomes disturbed when his, it's like Satyabhama may become envious of Rukmini and Krishna. Oh, he becomes like an ordinary man, it seems. He may become disturbed by that. So we have to understand. That's why we just can't take one name of Vishnu Sahasranam and understand him. We just can't say, well, Krishna dances with the gopis, therefore he's immoral. You can't just take one facet of him and purport to understand everything. You should also understand how he's the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything. You should also understand how he is completely on the pure platform. They don't come to discussing his gopi leela and try to say that he's immoral without understanding everything about him. He's peaceful. Yeah, that's a very... He's Sama means he's equipoise. That's a very good name for Narsimhadev. Is it? He rips Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Well, that's another feature of him. He's very tolerant, yes, but not unlimitedly so. Very tolerant. But if his devotee is tortured, he will respond. Some qualities are more important than others. Just like truthfulness is a very important quality. But protection is more important. If you have to tell a lie to save someone's life, better tell a lie. And that story is given there. The thief, gang of thieves, and the merchant. I told this story many times. I didn't tell it again. It's instructive. One Brahmin living at the edge of a village, he had vowed never to tell a lie in his life. A very good vow. One day outside his residence, he saw one man running up, looking very afraid. And the man asked him, "Where can I hide? I'm a merchant carrying lots of gold, and there's a gang of thieves coming up behind me, wants to take it. Where can I hide?" The Brahmin tells him, you go in the woods here, in the jungle. You just go in there. So just after that, the gang came up behind and said, "We're a gang of thieves. We're chasing a merchant who's got lots of money. Do you know where he is?" "Oh, I can't tell a lie. He's right there." They went, they killed him, they took all his gold. So he didn't break his vow. Get the gang and take away his... Don't kill him, but take away his phone. Confiscate. Go and confiscate it. Take it away. Yeah. I'm not equal. Not equipoised. I don't like it when phones go off in the class, especially when you know that. You should know. So he followed that vow throughout his life, but then when he died, he went to hell, because he should have broken his vow in that situation too. Because the principle of protection is more important than the principle of not telling a lie, and more important than the principle of maintaining such a vow. So some things are more important than others. As Paramatma, Antaryami, the indweller in everyone's heart, he's neutral. But as Krishna, who loves his devotees, he's inclined to his devotees. So equipoise means he can control all his emotions, can control his anger. Means on the material platform, he doesn't get upset by anything material. He sees so many bad things going on in the world, but he lets it go on, because people have come to this world with the idea of enjoying this world. So let them live among themselves and mutually inflict nastiness upon each other. But there comes a point. At some point, he becomes angry. That's described in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. Ananta at the bottom of the universe becomes angry. It's such a long time they're going on and they're still not chanting Hare Krishna. Then he emanates fire from his mouth and burns up the whole universe. So don't push him too far. Don't take his lenience for granted. He can get angry. Also, although he does withhold it to a large extent. It can mean also in relation to the sannyasa krit. He helps the sannyasis to remain calm. He himself is calm. Some people, they're so calm by nature. If you walk into their presence, you come in their presence, automatically you feel calm, because they themselves are so calm. There are other people, you go in their presence, they're so agitated that just by being with them you feel agitated. So Krishna's in the very calm category. An example of sannyas, pristine example, we can say, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted his verse, Etansa asthaya paratmanishtam adhyasitam purvatamai mahadvi aham tarshami durantapara tamomukunda angri nishaviyava. This is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he quoted this verse, he chanted this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is from the song of the Avanti Brahmana, who took sannyas, where he says that I will become fixed in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become free from this material world, following in the footsteps of so many great personalities toward before me. I will cross over this very difficult to cross over ocean by remembering the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, being fixed in his service. So this Avanti Brahmana, he took sannyas, and he was very much had this quality of sama, of peacefulness, peacefulness that comes from tata mana pamane yoho, from being equipoised in honor and dishonor, because he was much dishonored. People would insult him, they would tie him up and slap him. He, with great difficulty, he might get something to eat. People would give, mostly people wouldn't give, they'd insult him. Eventually he'd sat down to eat, and then someone would come and kick dust in his face and urinate on his food. And he just remained calm and thought, oh, this is what Krishna wants for me. Not very easy, huh? What do you think? You sit down to eat and someone kicks dust in your face and comes and urinates on your food? What will you think? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his household life, he was a young boy, he came in Murari Gupta's house and urinated in his food. How about that? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's another kind of something like Charanamrita. So, yeah, he himself is beyond all, far beyond all these lower qualities of material nature. And he helps others, especially in the sannyas ashram. One is supposed to go beyond sannyas, one is supposed to go beyond material attachment and hatred. So Krishna helps with that if one is actually serious to be a sannyasi. This peacefulness we can attain by remembering him. Specifically, he himself gives that formula, bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. One can remain calm and detached from this world if one always remembers that I am not the enjoyer of this world, Krishna is the enjoyer. I am not the controller of this world, I shouldn't try to control the situation. Of course, to some extent one may have to do so, just like a king may have to, or a parent may have to try to control the child. But one should remember that ultimately everything is under Krishna's control. And Krishna is the friend of all living beings. So he's my friend also. Oh, my friend wants me to suffer this distress. My friend wants me to go through this distress. In this way of thinking, one can always remain peaceful at heart. Another way that he brings in this equanimity is by instructing about it in Bhagavad Gita and in any shastra, that on the higher level shastra, some levels of shastra, they encourage enjoying this material world, but in the Gita, especially Krishna, be detached. So in this way, Krishna is instructing in peacefulness of mind. He was instructing this to Arjuna, while at the same time telling him to go and fight. How about that? Go and fight and be equipoised in mind. But what does that mean? That he has to fight? But at the same time, know that in another sense, he's detached from all this. Krishna wants, I have to be an instrument. Nimittamatram bhava sabhyasacha. You have to, fighting means you have to be angry. But in another sense, he's detached from all that also. Because he knows that I'm doing it as an instrument for Krishna's will. So Krishna doesn't ask us to go out and fight, but he wants us to work in this world. And at the same time, we should be have an internal sense of detachment, knowing that ultimately everything is ordained by Krishna. That is very deep understanding. Another way Krishna makes everything calm is by killing. When you kill someone, they become calm. Now, well, yeah, that's true. But the commentators, they say that by destroying the whole universe, everything becomes very calm. Everything, all the jivas are wandering all over the universe with so many material desires, just cool down. Cool down for a few zillion years. There are no years. Just finish, stop, cool down. And he himself is very cool because the whole universe is going on. So many desires, people going here and there, and he's just resting. Looks up, wakes up, says, oh, what's the time, Lakshmi? Oh, it's 20 zillion, 500 trillion. Oh, still a long time. Okay. Still a long time to go to pralayam. So in this way, he's calm, calms down, especially the sannyasis. He himself, of course, has absolute control of mind because he has no desire, no mundane desire, and he helps others to come to that platform. And Baladev Vidyabhushan, explaining in terms of Lord Chaitanya, says that he describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's equanimity in two different ways. First, he describes the confidential truth of the personality of Godhead, and second, he satisfies everyone by knowledge and attachment to Krishna. Now, there's another comment. I think that must be from this... what's his name? Anu Malige? Parthasarathi. He's in the Madhva Sampradaya. So he gives the comment that his equalness is that in every form he comes as Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, Kurma. In every form, he has the same... They're all on the same level. They all have the same... they may not manifest, but they all have the same qualities. And you can't say any form is better than... They don't like us saying that Krishna is supreme. And they say all the forms, they're all equal. And that's... We also accept in one sense. Dipachireva hidashantaram abhupeta dipayate vibhritakam samana dharma yastadrigeva hijavishnutaya vibhati govindamadi purusham tamahamajami. All the candles, they all have the same shining power. Still there's one original candle. The original form is Krishna. So they don't like that. They say, no, they're all the same. You can't say one is better than the other. So we also accept that in one sense. But in another sense, different forms, they manifest different qualities, and especially Krishna, that Rupa Goswami has analyzed, has four special attributes that no other forms show. Now, the next name is Shanta, and this is very similar, because someone who is in equal-minded, who's the very form of calmness, and naturally is very peaceful. And people often say that when they take to Krishna consciousness, and oh, now I feel very peaceful in my mind. Because he himself is very peaceful. In his mature world, everyone is agitated by their own mind, especially in the modern age. People feel peace in the sense of relief from anxiety. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that, what is that? Atmanivedan tuapade kare hoino paramashuki dukkha dure gelo chintana rahilo chodike anandadeki. He says that having offered myself fully to you at your lotus feet, I become very happy. And all distress has gone away. No more anxiety. I simply see happiness everywhere. So that is an experience that people have when they start to think of Krishna or Rama. they naturally become calm because he himself is the embodiment of calmness and peaceful. He's very peaceful. I heard someone had this name, Shantaram. Have you heard that name? Shantaram. So if required, he'll kill millions of Rakshasas. But otherwise, he's peaceful. It's not that he's going around, just like some people have this, they have this hobby of hunting. Now, the kings, they used to do this. They had to practice killing. But nowadays just comes some kind of sport. Before the kings, they would go with a sword and kill a tiger. That means you have to stand right in front of them. But nowadays they stand at a distance and shoot with a gun. So that's demoniac, very, very low class. So the king, he may kill, but not that all the time he's killing. He wants to make an atmosphere. Generally, they want a peaceful atmosphere in the kingdom. So people are asking for Ram Raja. That doesn't mean that they want a big war in their backyard. Ram is most famous for waging war against Ravana. But basically, then after that, the kingdom went on very peacefully. And ultimately, everyone, all the residents of Ayodhya, went back to Godhead. So, he's basically very peaceful. The example is given the ocean, especially the Pacific Ocean. Pacific means peaceful. In English, they say the two main oceans in the world, the largest, are Atlantic Ocean and Pacific. Pacific is much bigger than Atlantic. So the Pacific Ocean was called, because the Europeans, they discovered the Pacific Ocean later. Probably they didn't have a name for the Atlantic Ocean, they just called it the sea, probably. But in comparison with the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific is very peaceful. There are many more storms in the Atlantic Ocean. So basically the sea is mostly calm. Sometimes there are storms, but basically the nature of the ocean is very peaceful. If you see the water, it's not flowing like a river. If you go to the Ganga, just from the very source all the way down to the Ganga Sagar, the estuary, except where there are dams, which is pretty much everywhere in Uttarakhand nowadays. But the water is flowing very fast flowing all the way down. But the ocean is very calm. There may be time to time some storm. So Krishna, he may sometimes, as required, become angry. Basically, his nature is very calm. His nature is to be kind to his devotees. So for that purpose, he may become angry. So some names are more important than others. His commitment to his devotees is more, it's his most important quality. That's why he could break his promise when he attacked Bhishma. He promised not to involve in the fighting, not to lift up any weapon. So he broke that promise to attack Bhishma because his promise, he just told Arjuna just before the battle began, Kaunteya Pratijani Name Bhakta Pranashiti. But he wasn't thinking. He didn't stop to think, well, I've got two promises. He just automatically, he attacked Bhishma. So some things, some qualities are more important than others, and his commitment to his devotees, that is most of all. So peaceful, yes. Yes, very peaceful. But don't take it for granted. If you become, someone becomes inimical to his devotees, it's not, he's not like this, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, not like that. He's also Vidhata, that's another of his names here. He gives the proper fruits of everyone's activities. And if someone becomes sinful, then they have to go down. That's another symptom of his being equipoise. He's equal to all. You do good, you go up. You do bad, you go down. Not that his equanimity is that he just lets people do any nonsense, whatever they like. It's not that in the name of oneness we say good and bad, it's all the same. Then, the next thing. Oh, Shanta. Yes, but Baladev Vidyabhushan says, peaceful because he has nothing else to do but the service of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Taiv Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakali Ashanta. Devotee of Krishna is peaceful because he has no desires, no material desires. He's not desiring something. He's content in his present position. He doesn't want... He's very content, very happy to worship Krishna. He doesn't think that I have to do something else. Whereas the materialists, those who desire liberation, the yogis who want siddhis, they all want to get something. The devotee of Krishna is very peaceful in his service. He also thinks, I want to get Krishna, but he's very peaceful knowing that Krishna will look after him. Bhavantame bhanu charam nirantara prashanta nirsheshara manoratantara kadaham aikandika nitya kinkara praharshiyasha sanataji Yamuna Acharya prays, when will that day come? That I will be always engaged in your service. And then, automatically, the mind's wanderings, unlimited wandering here and there, that will come to you. The mind will become very peaceful. When will I be known or recognized as your one-pointed servant, eternal servant, then I will be always in your shelter, accepted as your servant. And that would be a very happy position. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead to whom this prayer is prayed, but as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's as a devotee and very peaceful in that sense. Oh, and then also, a quote here from Śrītāśvatara Upanishad, Natasya karyam karanam ca vidyate. So he has nothing to do, so he's peaceful. I have to go here, I have to go there, I have to do this, I have to do that. Devotee also, I have to go here, I have to go there, I have to do that. But Krishna is with us. So very peaceful. Nothing to desire from this world. Yeah, and then the next line, the word sama comes up. He's equal to all. So, next thing, nishtha. This is a well-known word in our Gaudiya Vaishnava vocabulary because that is counted as one of the stages on the progress towards Prem, attainment of pure love of Krishna. This is also a name of Krishna, which gives this nishtha, gives a sense of firmness. One is very firm. So he's very firm. So in this way, this name is similar to the name Dhruva, which came previously, very solid and fixed. It also, the commentators give the idea that when everything in this world is moving here and there, jagat, gachatiti jagat, that which is always moving, but he's fixed and firm. We're always moving. I'm in a human body now, and previously I was in so many other bodies, and in future I may have so many other bodies. I may have a human body next, but there'll be a different human body, but he's fixed in his position. And that also means, the word nishta also means a pivot, a support, something that we can hold on to, which is very strong, which won't waver. So if we can have confidence, we can have nishta, firm faith, that if we hold on to Krishna, that we will be sheltered. We won't be swept away by the waves of Maya. Yeah, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the idea that nishta in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means that he's fixed in his vow, especially the vow of chanting the name of Krishna. He's fixed in that. It's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we hear this folk stories about this, some Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he followed Christianity and sometimes he followed Islam, and then sometimes he followed Tantra. He tried this and he tried that, and then he said it's all the same. No such nonsense. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the beginning is fixed in service to Krishna, and he remains like that. It's not that he changes at some point. It's not that at some point he says to Sarup Damodar, oh, I had enough of this bhakti. I'm going to go and grow my hair and become a yogi in the Himalayas. There's no such thing. He could have done. There's so many people who leave the world and go to the Himalayas and do tapasya. He could have. When he left home, why was he going to search for Krishna? He could have gone to Varanasi, become a sannyasi there. No, he's firmly fixed in service to Krishna. And again, paratmanishtam, this verse he quoted when he took sannyas, to be fixed. He's fixed in service to Krishna. He's the fixed as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't retire. He doesn't... it's not that he's... okay, you've been God long enough, now someone else has to be God. You've already been Prime Minister. Recently they changed the president. Some unknown person came up. Who's that? Anyone know? I can't remember that. Yeah, he was largely unknown. Huh? At least I never heard of him, and I follow the Indian news. Previously they had this... Pranab Mukherjee was a known person. Then the Pratibha Patil was also a known person from politics. And they had this Rameshwaram Muslim, that scientist, Abdul Kalam. He was also a known person. Anyway, so it's not that Krishna, his time's up. Now someone else is going to be God. Why always you? Come on, be fair, it's a democracy. Communism, no God. How can there be a God in communism? Because everyone's all the same. God will have to go out and plow the field. That's what they do to all the intellectuals. Yeah, he's ready. He's already the best communist because he plows the fields, he looks after the cows. Sometimes he's the head of state. Then he's an intellectual, Vyas, writing books. He's doing everything. He becomes the servant of his devotees also. So, nishtha. He's fixed. He's always God. And we can be fixed in him. Next name, Shanti. very well-known word in Hinduism, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So people who chant Om Shanti, 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 they're generally not devotees. They may be also. It's not, we devotees also chant. At the end of a yajna, you may chant. But the people who are looking for Shanti, they're mostly looking for it without Krishna. Isn't it? It's mostly the non-devotees. They're more interested in Shanti. Whereas devotees, they're more interested in serving Krishna. But it's also a name of Krishna. So knowingly or unknowingly, they're chanting the name of Krishna. And the obvious meaning of this is peace. It can also mean, here in the Vishnu Sahasranam, the idea is given that he is the object of meditation, the one to be meditated on. Meditation means you have to be very peaceful. If you're meditating, you can't think about so many things. But the proper object of meditation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, very similar to the names that have just gone ahead, Sama, Shanta, the whole idea, if we take the verbal route, is to become very calm. So a devotee becomes very calm, not calm in the sense of material desire, but the English word, which means to be free from material desire by being calm. That's interesting, huh? You should become calm. Oh, actually I wanted to become Vayu. Calm is the name of one God. Okay, I'll become calm. Next time I'll become Vayu. Children may play like this. So Shanti. There's a lot of discussion here, but it's more or less the same thing. Comments are there. Permanent peace is to be found in him and nowhere else. So you can become a Buddhist and try to become peaceful. But permanent peace is to be found in Krishna alone. When there's no calm, then you can become calm. No material desire, then you become peaceful. So you can, this is the, when you have no calm, then you're calm. You have to understand which words we're using. There's ka, dirga, ma becomes calm. If you're akam, then you become calm in the sense of shanta. Krishna bhakta nishkam ataiv shanta. So, his very nature is to become peaceful. He doesn't have any material desire as we have. So many desires coming and going in the mind all the time. That's why it's very difficult to meditate. Because to meditate, you have to still the mind. But apuryama anama chala pratishtam samudrama pa pravishanti adva. Tadvat kama yang pravishanti sarve. What is it? Sashanti mabna. That's the word. Sashanti mabna. Noti na kama kami. The material desires are always coming into the mind. Always coming into the mind. So it's very difficult to still the mind. If you just try and sit, empty the mind, and then immediately, boom, something will pop up. And boom, 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 something. One who is calm and peaceful. There's like the rivers entering into the ocean. The ocean doesn't become disturbed. So the desires may come, but remains peaceful. So Krishna like that. He's not at all disturbed by petty material desires. Just like, they're so insignificant. He's Atmarama. He's fully satisfied in himself. Everything in the whole material world, nothing appeals to him. The whole material world is like some outhouse, some toilet or something. Oh, there's something very enjoyable in the toilet. What do you want to go to the toilet to enjoy for? Krishna has so many beautiful palaces in Vaikuntha. And why will he take any interest in the material world? So he's detached from all that. And so on. They say, oh, it's so great to become head of state, president. Or among the cockroaches, they elect king of the toilet. And Krishna's laughing. Okay, you'll be king cockroach. And someone will come with this. Oh, now I remember. Finit, is that the name? One. Finite, you pronounce. Yeah, come and kill the cockroaches. So, the king cockroach. But I'm the king. Give more powder. So, he's very peaceful. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Said at the end of a yajna. And Parayanam. Now, this name is very interesting because this Vishnu Sahasranama was spoken by Bhishma Deva to Yudhishthira in response to questions by Yudhishthira, such as this one. Kim ekam daivatam loke, king vapyekam parayanam. Who is parayanam? In this sense, means the goal. So, who is the goal, or what is the goal? And in response, Bhishma Dev spoke Vishnu Sahasranama. So, here you go. Here's your answer, Yudhishthira. He's the ultimate goal, the best goal of all activity. Now, another meaning is the means, the way to go. So he's the sadhana and the sadhya. The sadhana means some activities with some result in mind, and the result is him also. Upaya and upaya means the same thing. There's a goal in mind, that which is to be attained, and he's the way to do that also. So he's, as you may know, if you've ever been preached to by a Christian, it happens to a lot to our devotees in the West, distributing books, and a Christian comes up and says, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to God but me. Oops, Patibhikar Swami converted to a Christian. See, they're pretending to be Hindus, but they're actually come to convert you to Christianity. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to God but me. I know that very well. Had it sent to me many times, distributing books in the Western countries. So, Krishna is the way and the goal, means and the end. By chanting Hare Krishna, what do you get from chanting? People were like, what do you get? What do you get? Why are you... Well, you know, Prabhupada, what did he answer? What do you get? More chanting. When you go on chanting, what do you get? You get more chanting. You go on chanting, that's all. But you must get something in the end. If you're studying, there must be some exam, then you get a certificate. These poor people, they go to college and work hard for 4 years, they get a little piece of paper. They're really cheating them, huh? So what some people do, they just pay someone and they give them a piece, they pay them to make a bogus one, then you got it. By paying less money and doing no work, you can also become a doctor. Because all you have to show a piece of paper, right? So people then, what's the goal? The goal is to chant Hare Krishna, because the means and the end are the same. The bhakti is Krishna, and the goal of bhakti is Krishna. So the three main interpretations are given here, that he is the means of attainment, he is the goal of attainment, and the third one is similar to the second one. He's the best abode to seek. So that's quite clear and obvious to all of us here, I hope. Others may not understand that. The best thing in life is chanting Hare Krishna, Most people don't agree with that. Well, that's why I should finish this talk so I can get out and distribute books and let them get this information. But we also have to discuss all these things so that we can understand ourselves. Oh, and then another meaning is given, breaking up. Param ayanam. The best place to go. He's the best place to go. Baladev Vidya Bhushan puts these three names together as one name, Nishta Shanti Parayana. Parayana, that gives the sense of being attached to. So we can, one name Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives to Krishna, Rasa Parayanam. He's very attached to Rasa dance. He is the abode of the highest peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotee philosophers. Hare Krishna. That name of Baladev is specifically for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Hare Krishna. You have a question?
Do the Sri Vaishnavas say that this sannyasa name refers to Ramanuja?
Do the Sri Vaishnavas say this name refers to Ramanuja? No. No. They don't say. At least the main commentator in the Sri Vaishnavas Sampradaya on the Vishnu Sahasrara is this Parashrabhata. He doesn't say that. Ramanuja, they call him Yatiraj, king of sannyasis, or best of sannyasis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we may say also. But they don't include. Even they say Ramanuja is Lakshman, Sheshavata, Adi Shesha. But they don't emphasize or they don't promote him as Bhagavan. They promote him as Acharya, who's pointing the way to Bhagavan.
But then we see that Mahavishnu and Garbhodaksha Vishnu, they're
always resting.
So how do we explain?
How do we explain? What are you going to explain? What's there to explain? That's what he's doing. He can do whatever he likes. He's resting and he's dancing in another form also. So we have all the avatars here, huh? We have the resting one. Always we have during the class some imitators of Mahavishnu. Deep in sleep. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. You're going on. Still another question.
How much of the comment is give a commentary on Lord Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam and Bhagavan? They not accept it?
Who?
Madhva Pandit.
Madhva Sampradaya. They interpret it in a different way. Sanskrit is such a language you can interpret it. Krishna himself comes in that list. In the list of names before that Ete Changsha Kalapusa, Krishna comes in that list. Okay. And some prasad, shall I get?